All right. Well, that's a very nice segue then into the gospel. In Luke chapter 4, which is an interesting sequence of little texts. So it's appointed to begin in verse 31, when you have this summary about Jesus teaching with authority. And again, a lot of the Old Testament themes are reflected in the New, the authority of Jesus' word. He does his own share of tearing down and building up here with the demonic exorcisms. But the text is running, it runs all the way through verse 44. And as I was working through this and thinking about it, it seemed to me that this might be a text where the thing to proclaim would be the overall impression, if I could say it that way, that of what Jesus' ministry gives here, and I'll just say it quickly, the world is broken, bad. I mean, it is broke, and Jesus has come to reverse that brokenness and to repair the world. And now that's a message that could be preached in any number of ways. I mean, if you have a group of complacent Christians who are upper middle class and have good health insurance, you know, they're not all that sure that the world is broken. And so, the text could actually be an invitation for them to turn from their complacency, our complacency, I should say, and to identify the world and to name it the way God would, things like that. On the other hand, obviously, there will be many times when Christians are experiencing the brokenness of the world and so are in need of a word of comfort and consolation. I also think that just as Tom was saying, the brackets of the present ministry of Jesus and the final coming of Jesus is absolutely necessary here. And you might actually then end the sermon with, what shall we do now in the midst? Here's what Christ has done. Here's what Christ will do. What is Christ doing now in our midst? And that might be a way to get at this. But it's really a powerful text. So let's just kind of walk through it fairly quickly in the Greek, and we'll go on from there. So verse 31, and he went down. This is just from kat erchomai. Kat elthin is the aorist indicative. He went down into Capernaum, comma. Now we'll say something about Capernaum in apposition, a city of Galilee. Now, the brokenness of the world has been reflected in the prior pericope where the people in Nazareth try to kill him. You know, it's that famous story, right? So this is following on the heels of Jesus passing through the midst of that hostile crowd. So he went down to Capernaum, comma, a city of Galilee, and now the linking verb and a participle, which is the so-called periphrastic participle. He was teaching them en tois sabbazen. This is the plural of Sabbath. It's just an idiom. You don't have to translate on the Sabbaths, but just on the Sabbath. So, and then the note of the power of Jesus' teaching, which is not only sort of a, what shall we say, non-literal power or spiritual power or metaphorical power, like to forgive or comfort or something, but he has actually power to make things happen when he says stuff. And so, Tom, your emphasis upon Jesus as preacher, right, is quite appropriate here. So verse 32, and they kept on being astonished or began to be astonished. This is from ekplaso. It's an imperfect indicative, so you could give it an ongoing force or perhaps an inceptive. So they kept on being astonished on the basis of or because of his teaching. Why? Because en exousia, with authority, his word was. So when Jesus says things, they happen. And now we get a series of incidents in which that takes place. So verse 33. Notice that it's in the synagogue. How broken is the world if when pious Israelites or Jews come together to worship, in their midst is a demon? I mean, that's a pretty broken world, right? Bill, in church, you know, if something like that happens on Sunday, you just have Ron handle it. Okay, yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, okay, good. So, and in the synagogue, a man was. Now, this next participle, ekon, you could take it as periphrastic with the linking verb. There was, a man was having. But I wonder if it might just be directly adjectival to man, even though there's no article anywhere. We could take it as attributive adjectival. There was a man. What kind of a man? A man who was having, or who had, the spirit of an unclean demon. And on ekkroxen, this is from anakrazo, he, is this the man or the demon? Maybe both. He cried out by means of a great or a large voice. Verse 34, I had looked this up. I thought it probably meant ha, and I looked it up, and it means ha. So that was, I was very proud of myself. Ha, what to us and you, Jesus, the Nazarene? Right? Those are evocative forms at the end. This little idiom is actually the same thing that Jesus says to Mary at Cana of Galilee in last week's gospel, or I guess by now when you hear this 2 weeks ago. And it's, you know, it probably tone of voice makes a big difference here. Notice that the demon says us. So he's got compadres that are active and around in Galilee, in the world. And, of course, it means in some sense, what do we have to do with you, or what do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Nazarene. And now punctuated as a question, Eothus, you came, have you come, apolesai, this is the aorist imperative act or infinitive active of apolemy, have you come to destroy us? I know you. Now the question is reported directly, but it's in indirect discourse. I know you, namely, who you are, comma, God's Holy One. Now, this is actually a point that we might overlook because this is a pericope about authority, right? That in the ancient world and in the whole practice of magic and exorcism, the assumption is that if you know the name of your opponent, you have power over your opponent, right? And this is a text about who has authority. And the demon begins by saying, I know who you are. I know your name, say. And so, at least among some ancient hearers, perhaps, the expectation is, oh no, the demon has the upper hand. Well, guess what? As Dave Smith said in a chapel sermon a couple of weeks ago, guess who wins, right? And verse 35. We get Jesus rebuking all kinds of things in this pericope. And he epitimaoed him. Jesus rebuked him, the dative object there, saying, phimao means to silence or muzzle. This is the aorist imperative passive, second singular. Be silenced, be muzzled, and another imperative, come out from him. End of quotation. And now we have the main verb is ex aelthen. The demon went out. And we have a participle for, and we have a participle aft. Hrypson is from hrypto. It's the weak aorist participle, neuter singular nominative. The referent is the demon. We can read it temporarily. And after throwing him, reach forward and get into the middle. So apparently this person, this demoniac, is on the margin somehow of the gathering. After throwing him into the middle, the demon went out from him. And now we have another participle. This is blopson, is from blopto. I did not know that such a verb as blopto exists. It means to injure, right? And it's another aorist imperative active neuter singular nominative. This one would actually work concessively. After throwing him, he came out, although he did not injure him. Maiden there has to be taken sort of as an adverbial accusative of reference, in no way. He did not injure him in no way. So Jesus speaks, and it happens, verse 36. And amazement or tumult happened upon all, and sin elalun, this is from sun laleo, means to talk together. And they, imperfect, began talking together to one another as they said, what is this message that, or perhaps because, in or with authority and power, he orders, he epitassos, takes a dative object, the unclean spirits, and they come out. So the people are astonished at both the content and the evident, visibly evident power of Jesus' words. Verse 37, and the akos, the tone or sound or report, ex eporiota, this is a deponent verb from ek poruomai, means to travel out. The report traveled out, began to travel out about him into every place of the surrounding region. But we're not done there. Verse 38, reading fairly quickly now. And getting up from the synagogue, he entered into the house of Simon. Now, the Penthera, the mother-in-law of Simon, was being held together. Here's another periphrastic participle, the linking verb plus the middle or passive, in this case passive participle of syneko. She was being held together or tormented, in this context, by a fever, a big one, right? And they asked him about her, verse 39. And standing above her, after he had stood above her, here's rebuking again. He rebuked the fever. Now, this is interesting. I mean, Jesus apparently fixes everything that's broken by rebuking it. He just has authority to do this because he's the Holy One of God. He rebuked the fever and aphaken autain. Okay, morphology time, right? If you see the kappa there at the end of the stem, you think what? Perfect. Wrong. This is from the evil verb aphiemi, right? And if you know the principal parts, you're a happy man. This is actually just an aorist indicative. The verb can mean forgive, but it also means to leave, right? So this is just the aorist indicative active third singular, and it, that is the fever, left her. And parakrema, at once, immediately, anastasa, this is from anistemi, aorist participle, feminine singular nominative. After she got up, or maybe just she got up, and dia kane, from dia kaneo, it's an imperfect epsilon contract verb, she began to minister to them, she began to serve them. Say again? Yeah, immediately, yeah. I mean, he fixes things. Jesus fixes the broken world, right? These texts should not be reduced to the forgiveness of sins, right? I mean, it centers there, it starts there, but Jesus, he actually cares about bodies and things like that. So verse 40, we have a genitive absolute. Dino means to go down. And so as the sun was going down, the helios, all, as many as had being sick people. I think we should take asthenuntas, it's a participle, present participle from astheneo, take it as a substantive, right? All as many as, this is the imperfect of echo, as were having those who were being weak or sick by means of various nozois, maladies or infirmities, they brought them, that is, the weakly sick people, to him. And he, Hadeh, to each one of them, the hands putting on, being very wooden here, he healed them. Right? This all sounds Semitic to me. We've got too many pronouns. You know, it's like pronominal suffixes and resumptive pronouns and things like that. Verse 41. And also daimonia, demons, kept on going out from many people as they were crying, the demons, and as they were saying, quote, this is probably Hutti introducing, well, it is Hutti introducing direct discourse, quotation marks, you are God's son. And as he was rebuking them, that, let's see, boy, I forgot to figure out what AI is. This is from Eao, I think. Epitimao. Oh, and he was rebuking them and not permitting them to speak. Why? Because they knew from our friend Oida, this is the, oddly, technically it's actually a pluperfect, but it just has a kind of an aorist meaning. They knew the Christ, him to be. Tim, this morning we were talking about infinitives taking accusative case subjects, right? Here, autan is actually the subject of anai. They knew him to be the Christ. Okay? And this would be actually an infinitive of indirect discourse, if you wanted to label it. So we're not done yet, and so we're going to press on. And as the day happened, which I think must mean when the day was coming to an end, going out, he, singular, journeyed, from the deponent verb, poriumai, he journeyed into a desolate place. And the crowds kept on seeking him, and they came until him, and they grabbed onto him. They constrained him so as not to journey from them. Two plus the infinitive can express purpose, and I think that's what it's doing here. Notice that the infinitive is negated with may, not u. So as not to journey from them. So they want him to stay, but the ministry of Jesus is, and this, Tom, this reminded me of Legoyim, right? Here it's still in Galilee, but he's not, Christ's ministry is not limited. Verse 43, but he said to them, quote, also to other cities, it is necessary me to good news the reign of God, because for this I was sent. This is from apostello. It's a strong sixth principal part. You might be hoping for a theta, like a theta eta, but this is just the aorist indicative passive, first person singular, apostolein. And he was preaching, he kept on preaching into the synagogues of Judea. Well, I mean, I suppose a person could pick one of these pericopes and really unpack it, but the overall impression that I got, again, is of Christ entering the fray. I mean, he's actually doing battle here, and that's really central to what it means for him to preach the reign of God, because the reign of God is God, is the fact that God has broken into the world in a new way, that is, in Jesus, to reign as king in a way that he had promised he would do through the prophets, but he had not yet fully done. In other words, the reign of God is new in the ministry of Jesus and in the baptizer who announces him. So you see, it's about, in this text, it's about good news, which entails, interestingly, there's no mention here of forgiveness of sins, right? Although we'd obviously include that. In the next pericope, Peter says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, right? And Jesus doesn't force him away, of course. But it's about breaking the power of Satan. It's about healing disease. So again, these texts make sense with the backdrop of God the Creator, a broken creation, but God who loves all that he has made and will not give his creation over to Satan, but who will take it back in Jesus, right? And so how do you preach that? Well, again, you do the already of Christ, the not yet of Christ, and then you situate our lives, the congregation's life, in the middle between the already and the not yet. And you know, this here, the preacher, the pastor, you know, on site knows best how to do that. The already prevents us from becoming people who think we can make the world a better place, right? Because this ministry of this powerful Jesus reaches its climax in his death, right? And then comes resurrection. Jesus, the perfectly innocent one, allows all the brokenness of the world to come against him. As Peter and the others say in the sermons in Acts, evil men killed him. All the brokenness of the world, right, came against Jesus, and he let it happen. But, I'm smiling now, but God raised him from the dead, right? Death doesn't have the last word. Satan doesn't have the last word. So as we wait for God to finally come and repair the world, The church is simply those people who have heard and received that powerful word of Jesus, which does what it promises it will do. And then what do we do now? Well, we live by means of that word. We live by means of that teaching. You certainly could have a kind of a missional outward thrust, because it's through his people that Jesus goes continue preaching, right, into the good news of the reign of God. But really, in order for these texts to work even close to what I think they were intended to work, you have to have the backdrop of the right story, right? And that isn't always in place, you know, among middle-class American Christians who, to use a phrase that I was using last week, have sort of bought into the shortened escapist narrative, where Jesus came into the world only so that when I die, my soul can go to heaven. Which, by the way, is true, right? But that's not the fullness of the reign of God. So it's you know, the preacher, again, knows best how to situate his people between the already and the not yet of Christ's first and second coming. But I don't see how you can escape that way of preaching this text. So, unless you spiritualize everything, which is not a good idea. All right, thank you very much, and blessings to all who are preaching on Epiphany 4.
I'll ponder that as I fly to Florida.
Say it again?
I'll ponder that as I fly to Florida.
You're going to Florida to experience persecution?
Not to experience persecution.
Vacation?
Yeah.
Excellent. Are kids down there, Billy?
About an hour.
Brenda's going.
Brenda's mom and dad.
Okay.
I went around to see them.
Yeah.
It was a little difficult with the convention coming up to try to find a window that Brenda